In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
It's a post-game edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. We love having you on board. Thank you for listening to us and caring to hear what we have to say about a game where the Browns lost 35-14. About the only thing good in this game, Daryl, your birthday. Happy birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you. I mean, Jameis Winston wasn't bad.
No, he wasn't. I mean, 5 yards short of 400. Didn't throw any interceptions today. I don't know what you can you ask for much more out of a quarterback?
No. And look, and for the he did that in garbage time. No, he didn't. The game was tied at 14 when he hit 300 passing yards. It was a tie football game. And then just the avalanche of Taysom Hill fell upon them.
Oh, he killed us. Killed them.
Yeah. I mean, you knew what they were going to do. And the Browns were clueless, helpless, feckless to stop it. However you want to describe that in the fourth quarter, in a very negative and a very condescending way, Feel free to insert the adjective here, because that's how bad that fourth quarter was.
I think the hardest part about it is we knew what Taysom Hill was doing on every one of these plays, and they could not do a single thing about it.
Yeah, I mean,
nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hill scored on keepers from 10, 33, and 75 yards. He accounted for a grand total of 248 yards and three touchdowns in that win. That includes return yards, passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards. I was worried about Alvin Kamara going into this game. And you know, Kamara was okay, but he did not take the game over the way Taysom Hill did. The Saints just absolutely put the boots to the Browns there in the fourth quarter. The final score is somewhat deceiving in that the game was a lot closer than the final score, but the defense just absolutely collapsed in that final quarter. You know, Denzel Ward created two turnovers, got his first interception, forced a fumble, recovered the fumble that he forced. For whatever reason, they just absolutely got smoked down the stretch. And there were a lot of plays where you saw the Browns secondary just running around trying to catch up to fools.
I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's a price to be paid from somebody this week if the Browns don't make a fire. I can tell you, special teams was horrific.
Yep.
And I don't know. Maybe that's the change. I mean,
Justin,
I don't know.
Hopkins has the yips, wide left on three kicks, 51. And then the two field goals right before the half, only one counts as an official try. He's kind of gone south. He's now kicking back to his career average of 50% from 50 yards or more this season. He is 4 of 8. But you know what? It comes down to scoring. And are you ready for the most depressing statistic you'll ever hear there, Andy Baskin?
Sure, go ahead.
For a $300+ million football team.
Okay.
In 9 of the 10 games, the Browns have scored failed to score 20 points. I'm not done. In 1999, the expansion Browns scored at least 20 points 4 times. The 1-15 2016 Browns did it 7 times. The 0-16 2017 Browns did it 4 times. This is beyond pathetic for this offense. The person who should be fired, he should have been fired weeks ago, is Ken Dorsey. They should have ran his ass out of town on a rail, and Kevin Stefanski basically, I think, is keeping him out of spite. I think that he's saying, you wanted me to do this in the offseason, so you reap what you sow.
Who is you, though?
I even turned the play calling over to him. So it is what it is. Enjoy this modified Ken Dorsey-style offense.
Who is you, though, in this scenario, Daryl? Who's you?
Collection of those that have input on how the Cleveland Browns are run.
Okay.
Because they're basically run by committee. That's how this is done, okay? That's how this organization is run from top to bottom, with obviously the very top having ultimate veto or thumbs up power. But there are some things you should not collaborate on, right? And I think that the Browns are doing too much collaborating when it comes to some of their decision-making processes, and it's leading to some really craptastic decisions being made. And firing Alex Van Pelt to bring in Ken Dorsey is right up there with them signing Deshaun Watson and giving up 6 draft picks. Like, it just cataclysmic errors made by this organization. And ultimately, yes, I do think it's going to get people fired. Not now.
You've got to win on all three sides of the ball. I don't know how you can't say after today, Bubba Ventrone probably shouldn't be on the hot seat too. I mean, when Mike Prefer was here, I don't remember. Like, even Chris Tabor, I'm looking at the scenario, and it's a lot easier to change coaches than it is to flip out the entire roster. And if you're going to keep your general manager, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, Kevin's going to be a pro's pro about this all the way through, but I don't know how it doesn't matter what they did going in. It doesn't matter who made the decision on Deshaun Watson. What matters is there's got to be some kind of change. And I think when it's all said and done, unfortunately, I think it's going to be on Kevin.
No, I actually think it's going to be Andrew Berry.
You think Barry's going to take the fall?
Yes.
And Stefanski stays?
He's the one that bought the groceries. He's the one that wanted Deshaun. He's the one that did, you know, did the contract and gave up the draft picks. He's the one that has put together the most expensive NFL roster in history. And
is that on him, though? Is that on him?
He's the executive. He's the executive vice president of football operations and general manager. So, yeah, it's on him.
But let's go back to the reason Deshaun Watson's here in the first place, right?
Andrew Berry wanted him, and then ultimately everyone got together and said, do what it takes to get the deal done.
And you don't think there was – no one was driving that beyond him. He's the one – he is 100% the reason they have him.
Berry started the key. He fired up the engine on that pursuit.
All right. Do you want to go through the game, or do you just want to, let's just talk about the realistic things that are happening?
There's a lot to go through in this game, Andy, basically all went wrong. A comedy of errors, two missed field goals, right?
Let me go right back to the beginning of the game. Okay. Let's go right back to the beginning of the game. The Browns went for it on fourth down at midfield.
And decided to run between the tackles instead of outside, where the Saints are terrible stopping the run.
Okay, so right there.
Ken Dorsey, give him his flowers. Great play call. Great play design. Right between the tackles on fourth and short when the New Orleans Saints can't stop anybody outside the tackles. Good job.
I think that set the tone. I think the missed field goals really hurt. I still love Corey Bjorkia, so that's my one special teams guy.
You love Corey, but you don't know how to say his name.
I'm telling you, I'm saying it right.
And it's fitting that your mic cut out while you said that. It's Corey Bohorquez.
All right. So I had some issues there. Sorry about that. Microphone issues, but it doesn't matter.
In addition to not knowing how to say the punter's name.
Come again?
In addition to not knowing how to say the punter's name, Corey Bohorquez.
Bjorkes, that's fine with me. Live it. Learn it. No, Bjorkes. It's cool. I went to school with Bjorkeses. Come on, man. Spelled exactly the same way. You want to argue about it? I'll take you down. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll live with it. But it's a proper noun, and you can say it any name you want to.
I'm going to go ahead and pull up the pronunciation guide.
I think he's down with it. Get your head out of the pronunciation guide. We're here to talk about the game. Tired.
Also here to
just because it's your birthday doesn't mean I have to bow down to you.
I'm not asking you to bow down. I'm just asking.
Did you get a cake or anything for your birthday? Did you get a cake? Anybody get you anything?
No.
I did. I sent you flowers. You didn't even see them, did you?
I didn't see any flowers.
Yeah, whatever. We're done. Done.
I didn't see any.
See ya.
No flowers came. Maybe they're coming tomorrow.
Oh, well. You know what? Everything's a little bit late in this postgame show. So
okay, here we go. Punter Corey Bohorquez, Bohorquez, Bohorquez.
Okay, well, I don't really care.
Bjorkes.
So what if we butcher his name? So it's about the only thing that didn't get butchered today because special teams sucked outside of him. The offense I thought was good. I was happy with the offense today. I don't know how you couldn't be. Other than DeJuan Jones getting hurt, right?
Well, besides the fact they can't score points, it's great.
Yeah, so. Hey, they got their first interception from a non-linebacker today.
They did. Congratulations to Denzel Ward. I think we got to talk about DeJuan Jones' brutal ankle injury.
Yeah, I just brought that up. But you can keep going. Thanks for listening. Go ahead.
Well, you kept cutting out. You're going in and out. So
yeah, whatever you say. Keep going. Yes.
So they lose DeJuan, and I still don't think that
he's done for the year. Don't you think? I mean, they were mouthing it's broken on the field.
I don't think that is enough to get Jed Wills back on the field either. Do you?
Yeah, because they're desperate.
No, I think they're going to keep Jermaine Ifeidi in there.
Did you say his last name right there?
Ifeidi, yeah.
No, I thought you said Ifeidi. Let's just sit here and debate for the next 20 minutes.
They didn't even include him on the...
See, that's how important it was, because I was right again.
No, they just didn't put him on the guide for this week. He'll be on the guide next week. How excited are you that the Steelers are coming to town after?
I am absolutely like nauseous thinking about all those terrible towels taking over.
It's going to be a Thursday night takeover. By the way, let's give Jameis some more flowers. Yeah. 200-300-yard passing games in three games for him. That means he and Joe Flacco have combined for six 300-yard passing games and eight starts. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson is 0-for-19.
Is Deshaun Watson making a case to be the starting quarterback next season?
No.
Jeff Phelps will talk to you about it.
Oh, you mean Jameis?
Jameis Winston. Sorry, that's my fault. My bad. That I admit to making a mistake.
Yeah, I think if Jameis continues to play this way, I think that there's a shot that he gives them a tangible option. Because, be honest with you, Andy, if they don't stick with Jameis, then they have to go to the scrap heap again. And bring somebody else in, whether it's a Daniel Jones or whoever gets tossed overboard by their franchise. I don't know. Maybe Anthony Richardson becomes available for some crazy thing. Would you take a shot on him with the Indianapolis Colts if they decide to move on, right?
I need a guy that can place hold for a year until I draft somebody, because I'm not drafting a quarterback next year. I've got to start rebuilding the offensive line.
Yeah. Well,
do you agree with that? Is that what you would do?
Oh, 100%. I don't think any of these quarterbacks are worthy of a first-round pick. And I'll be honest with you, even let's just say Shedeur Sanders is, I don't think Deion Sanders is going to let him come to Cleveland.
Unless Deion's the head coach.
And nobody wants that. Do we? We don't want that, do we?
We've lived through a lot of things here. Would it shock you if he was the head coach here next year?
No. You know where I think he could be the head coach, though, next year?
Dallas.
The Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone thinks that, too.
Yeah, but let's see what else happened in this game. Jerry Jeudy, let's give him some love.
Yeah, give him props. Finally, a receiver with more than 100 yards.
Yeah, 142 yards on six catches, including the 89-yard touchdown. Let's give the Browns a standing ovation because they finally got a play over 40 yards this year. It only took 10 games, but hey, lo and behold, they finally got an explosive play over 40 yards. Meanwhile, the defense hit a milestone today, too. They have given up 50 explosive plays this year. That's 20 or more yards on a play. So defense doing a bang-up job there in the secondary, giving up all these big plays. And like I said, I think they spent
way too much. Do you want to give Denzel any flowers, though? I mean, he did come up
with the first interception.
And by the way, that's 16 straight games with a pass defended. Yes.
Yeah. Pass breakup. Pass defense or pass breakups. Yeah. Yeah. Denzel is playing great. The rest of the secondary sucks. I mean, they're consistently inconsistent. You know what I'm saying? Like they're not. You know what's interesting is it would be nice if Brown safeties would start making plays. It's similar to quarterbacks, right? You watch quarterbacks around the NFL, it's like watching a different sport. Most times.
I don't think – call me crazy. I didn't think Delpit had a horrible game today.
No, Delpit was okay, but like just I'm talking impact plays, creating turnovers, getting up in the box and creating negative plays and things like that. Brown safeties typically don't do that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett pretty much got shut out on Sunday, which was a little disappointing. Honestly, at this point, I'd like to just watch him stack up a bunch of sacks, get to 100 for his career, you know, or whatever.
And then what, retire?
Huh?
And then retire what?
Oh, no. Just I you know, just it's stat. I think it 2-8, it's stat padding season now. Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yes, that's all it is.
You know,
I don't know. I'd give him a little bit of a break. I'll be honest with you. If you don't feel good today, nah, take the day off.
No, relax. You know what you do? Let him get to 14 sacks. Okay. And I forget what the note is because I don't have it in front of me. There's a note with him getting to 14 sacks. It would be something. Mm-hmm. But then let him shut it down for the rest of the year and get his feet taken care of so he comes back 100% next year.
I'll buy into that too.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is where we're at, Andy. I mean, it's just.
No, I know.
It's pretty much ugly in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. It's pretty craptastic. And the Browns are 2-8. Steelers come to town. All they do is win games. They've won 5 in a row. They've got first place in the AFC North after beating the Ravens Sunday, 18-16.
They own the Ravens. They're 8-1 in their last 9 games against the Ravens.
And
8-1.
And Pittsburgh plays some of the grossest football you'll watch. But Mike Tomlin finds ways to win, right?
Yep.
Look, Steeler fan, if you don't want Mike Tomlin anymore, we'll take him in Cleveland.
Oh, for sure. In but a minute. Here's one God, the thought of having a 500 season consistently.
Here's one for you before we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a grenade at you. Are you ready for this one?
All right, let me sit down. Okay, I'm sitting. Go.
Would you turn things over to Mike Vrabel?
How much power are you giving him?
Well, right now, the current structure, he can help pick. If he's not happy with the GM, you can help him pick the GM. But I know he and Andrew Berry have a good relationship. It's part of the reason he came here. So does he and Stefanski. But yet, like, they're already talking in New Orleans. I don't know if you saw a couple of the posts on social media today. They were all giddy in New Orleans. Vrabel was here, you know, at the Superdome, and
right.
You know he could be. I think Vrabel's going to be one of, if not the hottest coaching candidate this offseason.
Oh, I don't question that at all. And I also know. I mean, I don't know if you can go back and look, and I we can. I can't remember the last time the Saints didn't have an Ohio State Buckeye on their team. Right?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, and they are really consistent. I don't know. I mean, you follow New Orleans probably better than anybody in Northeast Ohio. Could you see him taking that job there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could too.
Yeah, I honestly, I think he'd be a perfect fit down there. I really do.
What kind of a fit would he be in Cleveland?
I think he'd be
good. The savior if he could get him to the playoffs in the first year. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good fit here, but I don't know that he would get the authority that he would require here under this management structure. You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree. That's why that was my question. Why much power would he have?
It's too much collaboration taking place, and I don't know that Vrabel – I don't mean it to sound this way, but I don't know that Vrabel wants to collaborate on every single decision. Does that make sense?
No, I get it.
I'm not saying that he can't collaborate and he can't work with people or anything like that. Don't misunderstand what I mean. I'm just saying, like, I don't think he wants to have to collaborate on every single decision that gets made.
So you think at the end of the season it's Barry and not Stefanski? Stefanski's back next year.
I can make a better case for Stefanski staying than Andrew Berry at this point.
All right, let's leave it at that. We'll come back on Tuesday night, and then don't forget we're back on Thursday night as well. So if you love us, you're really going to be sick of us by the end of the week. It is always game day in Cleveland. We want to remind you we are brought to you by our friends at Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. For Evan O'Brien, our amazing producer, who does such a wonderful job each and every week and has to put up with all this Browns nonsense as he sits outside of Northeast Ohio. Thank you, Evan. We appreciate you. Good night, Cleveland, because it's always game day in Cleveland.